All right. Welcome to SecurityGuyRadio.com, SecurityGuyTV.com at, I got to check where I am, Infuse 2017.
I go to so many conferences.
Once I was at As Is, and I said it was at ISC West. So sometimes you got to double check.
You want to give proper credit.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Ben Townsend with Tracker Products.
Tracker Products, what's your website?
www.trackerproducts.com.
That's an easy one.
That is a very easy one.
Now, when I walk by the booth, I like the name Tracker Products, and I'm thinking, this guy is tracking somebody down. It's hunting somebody. Then I saw your tagline, which was?
Chain of custody software for physical and digital evidence. I'm glad I remembered that. You put me on the spot. That would have been bad if I didn't have my tagline.
That would have been.
I got it, though.
So this is so important. And it caught my eye. Mm-hmm. And we talked about why it caught my eye. Because, you know, chain of custody is a buzzword to me.
Yes.
Coming from police backgrounds. But I think it's just a household name in general for people,
yes.
Right? So chain of custody and digital stuff is not the old-fashioned cop stuff I used to do,
mm-hmm.
where you sign a piece of paper, I hand the evidence in a bag to this guy,
right.
He goes and gets it from the locker, takes it to court, whole different ballgame, and cases are lost easily on the digital side.
That's correct.
So explain what you guys do with that software and how you keep all that stuff straight.
Yeah, we try to keep it very simple because the concept is very simple. What happens with a lot of agencies we work with is the way they handle chain of custody is on paper. So one of the things we're always looking for from a client is if something were to come up and somebody asked you to produce chain of custody, it's not so much do you have it, because most people
right.
expect that you have it. It's how long does it take you to produce what you're looking for?
That's interesting. All right.
Okay. So the idea behind the people that we deal with is what happens when you cannot produce those things? Because typically the defense attorney, what we always say, the defense attorney never has to be right. They have to be able to introduce doubt.
That's right.
Okay. So that's a whole different thing to say you got to be right versus I just need some doubt in play. Because once you get doubt on your side, then you don't even have to be right. You've already come where you need to go. So what happens is we want to make sure our clients don't even have that doubt. What we want is when somebody asks you for information like chain of custody, your answer should be simply, hold on 1 second, let me email that to you,
right.
And why don't we review it while we're on the phone together? Because they're typically not looking for your chain of custody. They're looking, what does it look like to produce that?
Now, so, that's interesting, because if you balk on that and say, it's in my other forensic drawer, and they think you're lying,
right.
And then they start a whole other query of evidence.
Sure.
So that's a very good point. But
or give me a couple of days to produce it, and I'll get back to you.
With my edited version.
With my piece of paper that's got handwritten notes
that's
on
right.
it and everything else. And that's what you don't want.
Right.
You know, we want that thing electronically generated. First of all, we want a system that's going to be doing the heavy lifting. When I say heavy lifting, I mean, we want a system that's going to be tracking. So as items are checked in and out and you're getting digital signatures, all of that is going on in the background. And so that in the end, you're simply producing a report that shows what that chain of custody
now,
looks
like. Now,
tell
me how your software prevents someone from messing with that data.
Well, so first of all, so that's a very important thing, is our chain of custody in our software is unalterable.
Okay.
So while you could go in and we track custody on physical items, so things that I'm holding in my hands,
right.
laptops, hard drives, things that are moving back and forth, but we also track them on digital assets, things that you may download, things that I just want to view a
okay.
picture. And so we're tracking chain of custody on both of those. And so while you could go in and modify an item, it's a computer, somebody put it in, it's got a wrong serial number, I can modify that.
Right.
The chain of custody is not alterable.
Okay.
And so they literally do not have the ability to go in and say, I want to modify the date and time that happens. Now, a lot of people would like to be able to do that, maybe even for some noble reasons. But in the end, when you don't have the ability to manipulate the chain of custody, at the very least, and the reason we do that, because if you show up to court, if we're ever called in to back up what you're doing,
right.
I want to be able to say there is no way that they can modify that chain of custody. As a matter of fact, the name that is listed on the recipient or who was the originator of the custody was the person logged into the software. So unless they had the ability to hack it in some way,
right.
which is a whole other conversation I'm happy to have, they could not manipulate the date, time, and who was the originator
well,
of the transaction.
Well, I'm always thinking like Pinky in the Brain, right? Evil stuff. So,
taking over the world.
Exactly, right. So I'm a benevolent custody guy at the police department.
Yes.
I have my back shirt. I'm retired kind of, but I do the evidence room.
Sure.
And I'm not great with computers, and I log in, I'm using your software, and that
yeah.
helps me. And, you know, I walk away.
Sure.
And I'm still logged in.
Yes.
You step in.
Right.
And now you're doing something with the chain of custody
yes.
data, but the log's going to say it was me.
It was
How
me.
Do we guard against that? Any video verifications or anything, dongles or anything?
I was going to say, so first of all, there's, you know, when you get into things in that depth, you have to string multiple things together. You know, one software program never fixes all the problems of the world. So at a very, very simple level, first of all, the software automatically logs you out as you would expect if there's a period of inactivity.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
So the client does control that. They could literally say as little as, you know, a minute.
And
you can even set it up to where it'll notify the user. It's like your banking website. Yeah. You ever been on a banking website?
Sure.
And it's like, hey, listen, we're recognizing no activity at this point. You're about to be logged out. Do you want to stay logged in?
And that's something you present in court as evidence of what my standard is for the department.
That is correct.
And it happened in 10 seconds, and it's not physically possible to have
somebody
come in. Okay, that's a good point.
Right. And so those are simple ways to handle that. But then when you do begin to couple that with video, and that, you know, depending on the level of evidence you're dealing with, you know, like, obviously, if this is Fort Knox and they're tracking gold bullion, there's going to be lots of cameras and lots of things tracking what's going on, when in reality, most police departments aren't going to have video inside the evidence room, as advisable as that would be.
Right.
But that, so what happens is, though, now here's the thing we're changing.
A lot of them have at least a camera outside.
Right.
They have something, yeah.
And that's, and the important part of that is so in our software, not only do you have chain of custody, you have transaction dates and time when everything occurs.
Okay.
So when you start to line that up with video, so video may be a completely separate component, but as you begin to line those things up, you can tell, well, that transaction occurred at that time, and it was time stamp from the computer, and now I can line it up with the video, and now we can see how things are.
Can I bring the video feed into your software?
Well, the video feed's not going to come into our software, but you can certainly store the video within our software.
That's fair.
So when you get into the world of, so, you know, we're sort of talking physical evidence, but when you get into digital evidence, we've got, so body cams are the new thing. I mean, you hear everybody in there, especially in the police world, everybody is talking about body
storage
cam video and storage, and how do we track all of this stuff? And so that's what our software handles that also. We actually literally have it set up to where you can have direct feeds from the body cam into our software.
So that
the officer, literally, they just dock the camera, all that information goes up straight into
excellent.
The software, and then they manage all of that body cam video from within our software.
Now, you know, LAPD 7,000 body cams, you're talking a lot of bandwidth, a lot
Absolutely.
Of storage, right? Is your software operated on the cloud or on local computers?
These are like perfect questions for what we're doing. Yeah, so that actually becomes a big deal. So first of all, our product is a cloud-based application.
Okay, good.
Okay,
now,
so that,
let me stop right there.
Yeah.
You're on a roll, but my little reptilian brain sometimes gets behind. So on the cloud, but I'm a cop and I'm thinking, I don't want my evidence stuff on the cloud because cops are suspicious, right?
I totally understand.
How do you handle that with the client? Or do they say, well, we don't care anymore? I don't know.
I was going to say, you know what? So we've been doing this for almost 12 years now.
Okay.
And in the world of technology, 12 years ago, go back to what, 2005?
That's 150 years.
I was going to say that was 1,000 years ago in comparison to what we're dealing with now. 2005, this idea of the cloud wasn't even there. The word cloud wasn't there, even though the concept of a cloud was there. It's now been termed, and the reason they did that is to make people more comfortable with it.
Sure.
In today's world, even police departments, I mean, everything is moving to the cloud.
Okay.
Now, to go back to your statement from earlier, because it's a really important thing to pull out, you can have a cloud-based application. What about all this video going up to the cloud? Because then you do get into bandwidth issues.
Storage is huge.
You get into storage and all of that stuff. So within our software, one of the really cool things is we built a component where you can use our cloud-based application, but all the digital video can stay inside your facility.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So you can operate it on a SANS drive or whatever else. So all this terabytes of stuff. Number one, you're not pushing that terabytes of data up to the cloud. But number two, you're not paying to store terabytes of data in the cloud. So there's we have a lot of competitors out there that are now starting to say, hey, we want to store all this in the cloud. And I'm all for storing it in the cloud. In fact, we do that also.
Yeah.
But now I can sit down with somebody that says, you know what, listen, I'm okay with your cloud-based product to manage it, but I don't want to pump 7,000 officers and all of that video up to the cloud. Can you give me an option to manage that in my building?
That's what that
component allows us to do.
Well, and doesn't that look better in court if you go in and say, that video never left the station or that server?
That's correct.
Nobody monkeyed with it. That's it.
Yeah. All you did was use our software to manage where it was at. And because what we typically have happened is departments have, if I were to get into all the war stories and all the things that I've heard, what typically happens is these things will sit on a hard drive somewhere in the building.
Oh, forever.
They're
not
being backed up. Nobody's looking at them. They just pile up. And where that really becomes a problem is with laws required to turn over video.
Yep.
So if somebody calls you on the phone and says, hey, listen, I'm looking for a video from whatever, if your state law says you only got to hold videos for, you know, 90 days, which it's not 90 days, but let's say it's a year. Anything you keep more than a year becomes a liability at that point. So
yeah, because you have to produce it.
If you have it, you have to produce it. So what these departments want to do is they're like, listen, we will comply with law, but we don't want to keep this stuff any longer than we absolutely have to, because it turns from being a benefit into a liability at some point.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, instead of this stuff just piling up on a drive and you don't even know what's going on, now it can pile up on a drive, but you got a front-end application that is dealing with the management of it, so that when it comes time to getting rid of it, now we move it through the process. And oh, by the way, back to your original point, all along, every time somebody views the video, whether it's the DA's office or an officer, we're getting chain of custody on each one of those videos to say they viewed it, they downloaded it, they did whatever they did.
Now let's talk about what that chain of custody is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it two things? Is it I'm logging in, I know I'm logged in, I'm making a manual entry that I transferred this to somebody. If the DA logs in from somewhere to look at it,
sure.
Are you getting their network node, their IP address?
All that is being logged.
So that's super good evidence of the custody.
Yeah. And they don't have to do anything to make that happen either. It's just automatically tracking all that information.
Question. So it's automatic.
Yes.
And then I suppose they might put their name in there if they want to manually, whatever it is. You know that network node is you.
That is correct.
Okay, now, next question to that. Is your system gathering any evidence automatically? So, yes, it gathers the chain of custody, because mm-hmm. you're accessing it on the web. That all makes sense. But I don't know, can I point it at the data server and say, you know what, every time somebody goes in and out of these files over here, I want to know about it.
Yeah, so, well...
Because maybe those files are sensitive.
Right.
Maybe they're not evidence yet.
Yeah.
But it's the chief's memo to his girlfriend. We don't want anybody looking at him.
Right.
And can we attach that through a graphic user interface and say, here's a super good digital log.
So what's going to happen in that scenario is it's not going to be as forward to say, oh, hey, wait, we just picked up the fact that there was activity on that thing.
Right.
But what's going to happen in the end is, let's say, and we'll use the police as the chief as an example because you just brought that up. What happens when something goes wrong with the chief? Because typically what happens in that world is they're going to come to us and say, wait a minute, something just went wrong. I need to know everything the chief did. You know, did he go in and edit evidence? So let's bring it down to the real
world.
That's
what I'm kind of getting to. I mean,
money.
That happens, right.
Money is one that we deal with all the time, especially in the police world. Did this... So now we believe we've got a case on our hand where this guy running the evidence room was stealing evidence. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of that happening, but when it comes to
I've heard of it happening.
It happens way more than what we want.
Or they lose stuff because there's that component, but definitely stealing, it happens.
So what's going to happen is when you're using an evidence management software like ours, what happens is, number one, you want the officer entering the item. You want to have multiple people involved in this. One of the worst scenarios in the world is this becomes a siloed system where the only guy that controls it is the guy in the evidence room.
Okay? Single point of failure.
Single point of failure. So what we do is in almost every department using our product, the officers enter evidence, so they're entering the information as they've got. Because is there a possible scenario where they enter it, turn it over to the evidence guy, and then he goes in and not only manipulates the physical evidence, but he manipulates the actual evidence itself, whether it's a pill that he took or money that he stole. So by the fact that you got the officer entering the item, chain of custody shows his name, you know what it was. I can go in and produce logs that say, tell me everything that guy manipulated in the software, and we can break it down to currency, we can break it down to a drug or whatever else. So I guess your original question was, am I building evidence on all of this stuff? I would say in a roundabout way, the fact that you're tracking everything that goes on in the software, you are able to come back and say, yes.
It's kind of like its own, it's evidence of the evidence. Kind of.
Yeah, that would be a good example of it.
Encapsulates the system integrity.
Yes.
So I come in and I bring in a body cam video, and it's, you know, I don't know, somebody yelling and screaming at me.
Sure.
And they're dropping the F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, if you say that one more time, I'm going to knock you out. And you do.
Okay.
But you give them a verbal judicial warning. And
sure.
It's all legal what I did, but it doesn't look nice.
I understand.
And I upload that file.
Yep.
Now, a file is a date, time.
Yes.
File name. Size.
Yes.
Right? Bit rate, maybe.
There's all sorts of metadata that goes on in the background that the person, the guy capturing the video doesn't even know what's going on.
So that's my question. Yes. So then it goes in and somebody doesn't want anybody, this going out, and they go in and they edit the video.
Yeah.
The metadata changes. Is it going to change significantly so we know that's not the same file? Even though everything looks the same, date, time, everything's the same. Can you manipulate the data at the metafile level down into the stuff to hide that?
So the way we handle that within our software is we actually do not have a video editing component within our product.
Okay.
So what happens is this file, as it's originally produced, because what's going to happen is almost in every case, these camera manufacturers, they do not give the officer the ability to manipulate that file. In fact, when he comes back and docks out on the cradle, he doesn't even have the ability to control where it's going.
Okay.
So he has no... The only ability he has is to turn the camera on and off.
But sometimes can't that metafile be altered inside Windows?
Well,
on some things.
Well, what happens is if the camera automatically uploads the file into our software and they cannot manipulate it, okay, and,
okay.
That, and that's how that handles,
right.
It gets uploaded into our software unaltered. So how do you ensure that it was unaltered? Well, that has to do with the camera manufacturer. How is it uploaded into our software? So if you can put together a reasonable explanation, he couldn't have modified that. It's set up in such a way that he can't modify it before it's uploaded. Now it is uploaded.
No, what about before though? Could he put it in Windows Movie Maker and modify it and then upload it?
Well, what I'm saying though is he can't get the file off the camera, and so the only way to get the file off the camera
He
can't get the file off the camera. Right. He can't even go into the back door and modify that file on the camera.
Not yet.
And I would almost say any good camera manufacturer is not going to let that officer manipulate that file before it gets uploaded. So that allows me to ensure whatever got uploaded into our system, as long as the camera manufacturer controls it, then it will be the original file that got uploaded. And since you cannot manipulate it within our software, the only thing you could do is download a copy of it, manipulate it, send up another copy. And we do hashing and everything else within our software that I can say that file right there is the original file because you can't edit it within our software. The only thing they could do is download it, edit it, and upload a new copy, and then it would show both versions at that point.
Different evidence, right? That's
a different piece of evidence at
that
point.
So let's talk about both versions. Mm-hmm. Redundancy, what do you do?
So there's two. First of all, is the data being uploaded to the cloud, or is it staying, you know, in that scenario I explained earlier, is it staying on a server inside their building? So when it comes to redundancies, if it goes to our cloud model, I mean, our entire infrastructure is on Amazon Web Services. So
double redundancy.
I was
going to
say, there's some really cool equations that explain how those things are redundant.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're not going to lose data. But if it is in their building, then we help them understand this. Those files are in your building. I can't control them. So we have...
They might think you can. You got to explain to them,
Well, we do explain that to them. Yeah. In fact, we sort of do the, you know, you raise your right hand and put your hand on the Bible and swear, do you understand that I don't control that server where you're housing those data files? And it's sort of, I get the same reaction, but I'm like, if I do it that way, you're going to remember when I come back and say, do you remember when I said, you know, you had to raise your right hand?
Well, I mean, the good news is, in the old days, when you lost the bag with the staples in it, you lost everything.
Yeah.
At least you have the record that something was there and what the description was.
That is.
So not all is lost.
The metadata would all be there. The worst case scenario with our system is they would lose the actual payload file. And you certainly want those systems to be set up with redundancy in place. I mean, we would never say, go ahead and take that single failure point, you know, USB drive and just throw it in the room in the back. And say, even though they're doing that these days, most IT people understand having redundant systems in place and getting backups on those so that you don't have a single point of failure. And so, but again, the point of our software is to help them manage all that data that's sitting on that machine. If they yank the drive out of the back end, then our software, other than all the metadata is there, it becomes pointless.
Talk about pricing. I mean, not quotes, but is it subscription-based? Is it per month, or how's it work?
So, the way, first of all, like anything else, we try to keep it very simple. The way we license our product is based on concurrent licenses. So what we don't want a department to have to do, or any user, is to sit down and say, how many computers do I want to run this on? Because when it comes to chain of custody,
you kind of want one.
I want them to be anywhere, actually. So if they're out in the field, so like, for example, if you're collecting evidence at a crime scene.
Oh, because the software links all the computers to one data source.
There's one data source, but I don't want them to do is sit down and say, well, if I have to buy desktop licenses, then all of a sudden they're going to be like, well, I only want to run it on these three computers in the basement. So then what that means is the officers in the field, they're collecting the evidence. They're transporting it back to the facility. Could you imagine a scenario where evidence is lost in transit?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, so now what we want is have the guy enter it out in the field. Okay, so it doesn't matter how many. So we do a concurrent license. How many people are logged in simultaneously? And then you buy enough licenses to accommodate enough simultaneous users. You want to buy enough to where it's not a problem, but you don't want to buy so many that people never get a message when they log in. So that is simply how we license our product. There's no modules to our system. In fact, we're very upfront when we tell people, it is my job all the time to develop new features in our software and give those to you. I hope it incentivizes greater use, because if you have greater use, then you will come back and need more licenses.
So every show I do, towards the end of the show, I start to get a barometer. Do sure. I feel better about the world or worse about the world?
Okay.
And with your show, I now feel better.
Okay.
Because somebody's out there keeping track of this stuff.
Well,
and sometimes you interview people and you go, why is nobody watching that one particular thing? But this is a great product. This
if I can sober you up a little bit, the reality is when you talk to a lot of people and you just simply ask them, how are they, you know, I almost start out with like one or two questions. Can you tell me how much evidence you brought in the last year that is drug related that's been disposed of, and who did you dispose of it to? And all you got to do is sit back and watch their reaction.
That's right.
You know, and if their reaction is like, hey, give me one, you know, as a matter of fact,
give me 5 days to figure it out.
It's either that or, you know what, let me bring up my iPhone and I'll give you the answer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's you'll feel a lot more comfortable about the world if their answer is, give me a minute, versus if they're like, I don't even think I understood what you just said, you know, and then you're like, oh my goodness, I can only imagine what's going on in that evidence room.
It's trackerproducts.com.
Trackerproducts.com.
This is a great product. It makes me feel better about police work. You're Brett. What's your last name
again? Ben Townsend.
Nice to meet you, and thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate your time.